Hey, greetings everybody. It's Brother Two Posts, don'tperish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, I am sitting in a park by a beautiful river here in central Wisconsin. Sister Emma and I traveled to a new town, and we're working our way to our next preach. We had a long, long session of preaching, so we're taking some time to work online, a lot of ministry to get caught up on, trying to do some teachings, trying to do some testings, doing some discipleship with some people online. Want to bring you another series in my verse-by-verse study. We're in Philippians chapter 2. Today we're going to do verses 21 through 25. You can go to don'tperish.com, look up the verse-by-verse tab, get caught up on all the other verse-by-verse teachings. Today, the Lord's allowing me to bring Philippians 2, verse 21 through 25. Let's go right to it. Verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. All right, if we remember back from the verse-by-verse study previous, in verse 20, Paul was talking about not having many men like Timothy to serve and work in the body. And here he says, men seek selfish things and not the things of Christ. And Paul is making a statement about them. It kind of reminds me, not directly, but loosely, of Romans 3, 10 and 12. He says, it is written, there's none righteous, no, not none. There's none that understand it. There's none that seek after God. They are all out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. In that area of scripture, Paul's quoting Psalms 14, Psalm 53, mostly talking, it's talking about unbelievers, but he's kind of giving you an idea. We talked about in the first verse by verse, or the previous one, how few people there were that were diligently obeying and seeking after God. And we see that today, in a certain sense, about people that claim Jesus, and they live for themselves, they lack doctrine, they lack truth, they lack love of others. They aren't exhibiting the fruit of the Holy Spirit. No. Ephesians 5:9, goodness, truth, and righteousness is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So let this is a good warning to us all. What should we be in the body for the Lord as we claim him? Selfish, set on our own selves, or should be set on others and Christ and his word and his truth? I like this verse from Proverbs 3, 27, 28. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give thee when thou hast it by thee. I like that. So if you've got other saints that you know and you're able today to edify and encourage and exhort and teach, yeah, maybe rebuke, you need to do it today. I need to do it today, lest we fall into this not being a good worker, making full proof. We'll get to that concept in a minute. So we need to be doing good unto others, especially in the body, while we can. Work today. Night is coming. We have today. We have the time. We have the resources. We have the energy. Let's do it for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Verse 22. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. All right, so here, Brother Paul's talking of young Timothy's proof. What proof? What does that mean? Well, if we look at it in context and we look at some other verses, it's the evidence of his faith as he pursues and does ministry in the body. See, the gospel, when it transforms your life, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, his resurrection, and all his teachings and his work, and through repentance, you come out of every false way in your sin and false religion and the world, and you're born from above by the Spirit of God. Now you desire holiness and obedience in all your ways, and you endure in that to the end. I just preached the gospel to you. It's not a faith only, idle, sitting still thing. You don't sit in it. You don't do nothing for the kingdom. You strive because you're born of Christ. The gospel to eternal life that's in us is about bearing much fruit, Jesus said in John 15. We are made for good works, Ephesians 2:10. We're to be zealous for good works, Titus 2:14, and one of my favorites, Acts 17, we're to have prothumia. I've been teaching about that a lot. eagerness and a ready of mind to hear and do and obey God's truth. That's the fruit that you're born of God. I just witnessed to a man in a park. He said he goes to church. He believes in Jesus. He could care less about truth, holiness, obedience, righteousness, sound doctrine. He just goes to church. And the reason we're against the church systems, he said, my church is biblical. I tested it in about 2 minutes with him. We found 3, 4, 5, 8, 10 things that aren't biblical. The churches are promoting lies, heresy, sin, worldliness, carnality, false doctrine. And they give people a place to feel like they're of Christ, but they're false places, not of God. So what's the fruit? What's the proof we're talking about that Paul's talking about? Here's one. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. All right, that word prove, is to test. It means to test. And Paul also said this, 2 Timothy 4:5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. That word proof there means to carry it out. It's similar, but a little different. It means to carry it out. Making proof, that's what Timothy was good at. Making proof of his ministry, proof of his faith, working in the body, laboring, faithful with Paul as a son. Paul as his spiritual father, serving Jesus Christ, both as disciples, following Christ. I'm telling you all this because myself, my house, Sister Amen, the saints I know, and anybody I talk to or am connected to, we should all be striving for this as well. Amen. We're to model these people, not live according to the culture and churchianity. We're to model the people that God called, God trained, God approved of. Makes sense, doesn't it? 2 Corinthians 2:9. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in a few things, some things, no, be obedient in all things. Paul was about full obedience, so was Christ, so should we be. So Timothy, this young Timothy, he made full proof of his ministry, his life, his faith, and he's praised for it by Paul. We saints, all of us, including me, need to be laboring daily in the things of God as we're gifted, as we're called, as we give the are given the resources and the opportunity and the relationships with other people and the opportunities to witness. Yeah, we got to be doing all these things to make full proof of our ministry. Verses 23 and 24. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it shall go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also shall myself come shortly. So remember, Paul is trying to send Timothy to Philippi to encourage them, and he's in prison. He doesn't know his fate. It's kind of like if I got locked up in prison, I don't know what's going to happen to me. I send a brother to go help somebody. I'm hoping to get there, but I don't know what's going to happen to me, what's going to happen with me. And I like this. Paul trusts in God's will. He says, I trust in the Lord also that I myself shall come shortly. James 4:15, I love this. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So we always like to say that. We're headed to this town, if the Lord wills. We're headed to this event to preach, if the Lord wills. I might live to see tomorrow, if the Lord wills. Paul and James and all the saints of God knew that God controls your breath, your life, your death. Your days are numbered. We need to live according to that, and so we strive to do that. Verse 25, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. All right, so here Paul mentions another servant, Epaphroditus, I think that's how you say that, and this man seems to be a faithful worker. And Paul talks about he wants to send him. And I think it would be interesting. There's not a lot in that verse for us other than this. Ready? He's sending another faithful worker. He gives all kinds of titles of who this man is. I love this. And we're going to look at those titles. And we're going to look at a few more. Why? Well, this helps us see who we are in the Lord. Because, you know, Paul and these men in the Bible, they're just people. They're just like you and I. Now, they were special in that Paul was given the Holy Spirit-inspired word of God. we're not apostles, we're not prophets today, but we have the same promises, the same word, the same spirit, the same savior, the same body, the same father. Isn't that awesome? So let's look at some of these traits that Paul talks about this man, Epaphroditus. And this will encourage us. So this man was Paul's brother. And it says Adelphos in the Greek. It means brother in Christ, brother in striving with Christ. He was his companion. Synergos, it means co-laborer in Christ. So you're a brother or sister in Christ. You're a co-laborer in Christ. That verse says he was a fellow soldier. That word's a big Greek word. Sous stratiotes. It means associate in the conflicts for Christ. That's what you are. That's what I am. He was a messenger. That in the Greek means apostolos. That's like apostle. A commissioner, an apostle, a delegate. Now, we don't have true apostles today like they had, but we're apostle types. I tell people all the time, I'm not a true prophet. I don't get the inspired word of God, and I don't have the power of a prophet with signs and wonders, but I do a prophet-like job, preach the word, call people out of sin, proclaim the doctrines and the oracles of God. Same thing with apostle. You're not a true apostle like the 12 in the Bible that we see, the 13 with Paul, but you are an apostle-like because you're a messenger. We can go with a message from God, and that's what apostle was, a messenger. Now, beyond that, that kind of covers what he said in that verse. Oh, one more, minister. He said that this man, that he ministered to my wants. Minister, go look it up. You know what it is? In Matthew 20, Jesus talks about don't be lifted up, be a servant. A minister is a servant. You ever notice this? We go up to these religious churches, and or these religious so-called churches, these churchianity bodies, and we see the pastor has special parking spots and special office and special privilege and special parsonage, and they're lifted up and they get a big salary and they get retirement accounts. They're lifted up. They wear suits. They stand up in the pulpit, religious garbs and clergy garbs. Guess what? You're supposed to be a servant. A true minister of God is just a servant. The modern pastor role, that's all been bloated and corrupted by Roman Catholicism and evangelicalism. A true worker in the body of Christ is just a servant, not lifted up. So that this man was also a minister. Let's look at, I thought to finish out this section of study, we'll go a little further than that verse takes us. Let's look at what else in the Bible, just a few things that we're also called. So we're a messenger, we're a minister, we're a fellow soldier, we're a companion, we're a brother. We can all be that. But let's look at some more. Ready? We know that we are, as born-again Christians, by that gospel I preached to you, we're sheep of the shepherd. That word in the Greek is probaton. It means sheep that follow a shepherd. John 10:8. Is the verse I used for that. How about we're saints? Hagios. Ready? This one's interesting. We're saints. The Bible never calls God's people sinners until they live in sin. When they repent and they're walking after righteousness because of what Christ is doing in them, they're called saints. God doesn't say, I'm coming back for a bunch of sinners. No, he's coming for his holy, godly saints. Yes, they have the ability to sin. People ask me that all the time. You're perfect. You never sin. Never said that. I can choose sin. I can fall into sin. I can keep sin. But if I'm a true saint, I repent of it and I don't live in sin for very long. God's coming for saints, not sinners. You're changed by the Spirit of God. You don't live in sin anymore. So we're saints. Ready? Hagios. What's the definition? Somebody who sins all the time. Nope. Here you go. Sacred, pure, morally blameless, religiously, ceremonially consecrated, holy, a saint. Isn't that beautiful? So you're not somebody that goes on and just lives in sin. You're a person that walks in holiness and righteousness, keeping the ways of God. I took that from Colossians 1, verse 4. So are you a saint? Or are you a sinner that practices sin and lives in sin? That's something to think about. Let's move on. You can be a child, children of the Most High. That word is technon. John 11:52. And that means a son or an offspring. So that makes sense, doesn't it? If we're born of Christ, we're a child of God. If we're a child of God, born of his spirit's in us, we can live worldly, carnal, and sinful, or we can live holy, righteous, and godly. I ask people that all the time. They all answer, oh, we're going to live holy, righteous, and godly, while they're living in their churchianity systems, ungodly, sinful, carnal. You get my point. How about friends? Jesus said this in John 15, 14. He said, you are my friends if you keep my commandment. Fellows. It means, I guess that's where we get our word fellow from. It means associate, companion. I like that. We can be a companion to Christ if we keep his commandments. How about this one? The elect. I just did a teaching on this. Eklektos. It means favorite, select, chosen. It doesn't mean God only chooses some for salvation. It means God knowing everything, beginning from the end, Alpha the Omega. He knew at the beginning of creation who would be in eternity with him. Those are his elect. He knew who would choose him. Those are his elect. He knew who would endure in faith and turn their will towards God. He knew that from the beginning. That's his elect. Anyone can come. Jesus said, whosoever in John 3. Calvinism that says God only picked a few. That's ridiculous. Anyone can come. God wants none to perish. 2 Peter 3:9. Paul says God calls men everywhere to repent. Acts 17. So the elect, you're the elect. How about the ecclesia? Ecclesia, I think is how you say that. And that is from Matthew 6:18, where Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church. That word church is a bad translation. It means ecclesia. You know what it means? Called out ones. What are you called out from? Yeah, you just go to a church building? No. What are you called out from? Your sin, the world, all unrighteousness, false ways, Satan's kingdom, your self-will, your flesh. You're called out to Christ. You're part of the ecclesia. So I hope, maybe I'll go through and read them real quick. So in that verse, Paul talked about the man was his brother, that's you, companion, that's you, fellow soldier, that's you, and me, a messenger, that's us. Beyond that, we talked about you're a saint. We all are, if you're born of God. We're children. Glory to God, we are. We're friends. We're the elect. And we're the ecclesia of God, the called out ones of God. So I hope I decided to add to that verse a little bit, not add to God's word, but just add some of those titles. I hope by knowing all those that you can see that we're called of Christ to be these things, to make full proof of who we are, and to live and serve each other in the body. And yeah, we serve the world too. Sister Amma and I travel. We live in a little camper van. We preach the gospel to the lost. We go out in the street and we're ready to serve anybody that has needs of eternal life, questions. Yeah, if they're hungry, if they need clothes, we'll clothe them. We offer homeless people help all the time. But we're there to serve Christ. We're there to serve the brethren all over the world that we know via being online. Yeah, I've had the good fortune of seeing some brothers right close up at my fingertips. To be able to hug them recently, that's pretty awesome. We got to see and go travel these and see these brothers and meet them. And so I thought those extra titles would help you to see who you are in Christ. I thought that would encourage you. Are you living up to it? If not, if I'm not, we need to repent. We need to change our mind. We need to say, Father, give us grace. Give us the Spirit. Give us the Word. Give us someone to edify us, help us, train us, teach us. Ready? Give us someone to hold us more accountable so that we can be these things according to the Word. Accountable to your Word, your ways, and your sound doctrine. So I hope that blessed you. See who you are in Christ. I'm tired of the American churchianity people walk around going, yeah, we believe in Jesus. That's about it. They go to a Sunday building. That's about it. Some of them might have a cross on, a bumper sticker, a t-shirt. That's about it. We are so much more in Christ. And a brother just said this to me the other day. This was pretty interesting. He said, if you just read the Word of God and you take it for what it says and you ask the Spirit to enlighten you and you don't add man-made traditions, man-made doctrines, your own thoughts, wishes, desires, flesh to it, he said it's really simple, and he's been hammering away on the simplicity in Christ. That's what we have. We have the simplicity in Christ, but add all these things to it, it makes up a glorious walk in our Savior, and I hope you're enjoying our walk through Philippians chapter 2. I think next study, we're going to finish it. I think there's only five more verses left, if I'm correct. And so get ready for that. If the Lord wills, I'm going to finish it. So I hope this has blessed you. Let me know how I can help you in the faith. Go to don'tperish.com. Go to our edification tab. Every day, Sister Amma and I are pouring out an audio of what happened in our day, our street preach, what we're learning, what we're seeing, who's contacted us, scripture verses that are meaningful to us. And then from there, you can get to all of our verse-by-verses, our street preaches, the things Sister Amma offers for the ladies, and then the new teachings that come up. You can get to everything right from the edification tab. So we've kind of streamlined. We've went away from Facebook. We've moved away from adding to Blogger because they're controlling us. They actually wiped out one of my whole blogs, but that's okay. We've got more coming on don'tperish.com. For now, we control it. We pay for it. They can't take us down. Oh, one day, Satan will take all of us down off the internet and we'll have to run for our lives if we're alive in the Great Tribulation. I get it. But until then, as I told somebody in the street, we're using the internet for God's glory. We're pouring out to the masses. Anybody that wants to find and seek truth, we're here for them, and we are here for you. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Love you all. Thank you to your faithful, to the faithful brothers and sisters that we know, that love on us, that communicate with us, that we get to reach out to from around the world, and we get to see face to face. We love you. We cherish you. Strive on, saints of God. Godspeed till next time. We love you all. God be praised.